What is happening? Welcome to another Plus Pitch podcast. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 1st. And yes, we're going to talk about baseball. Welcome to May. Hopefully someone for Dustin, by the way. We live with George Lucas. Just kidding. It's Gorge Lucas. That is Lucas Giolito. As he went 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts in his return to the majors. And this was the first time we saw Lucas Giolito pitch since 2023. And we did see spring, of course, in 2024. We got really hyped about it. And that's why I've had Giolito higher in my ranks, I think, than what you would think, given the performance overall in 2022 and 23. He did have a good first half in 2023. It fell apart in the second. We were excited about how the Red Sox would use him. We saw increased velocity in 2024. And what do we get here? We saw him throw 91 and change kind of early on. It was like 90 to 92. And I was like, oh no, this is the bad version of Giolito again. But then he ramped it up. He actually worked his way to 96, dotting the down and away edge to Vladimir Guerrero for a strikeout. It was glorious. He sat at 93 and change, which is cool. It's not the 94 that we saw in 2021. However, if you get rid of the kind of the holding back that Giolito had early, then yeah, he pretty much sat 94 in that fastball. It also came with 18 inches of vert. It also came with 7 feet of extension. He's not a good steep, he's not a good attack angle guy, but those things, very, very good. And it makes me think that Giolito, especially with the Red Sox where everyone throws a cutter, will turn away from the slider that wasn't very good in this one, and I don't really like it much, from that slider to a cutter. I think that's an overtime thing. I was kind of expecting it earlier on in this. We didn't get it. It's probably just to get his feet wet and everything, but I kind of imagine that was the game plan with the Red Sox. They might not interrupt it this year as much, but definitely I'm expecting for the long haul. Also, this was a game where he was one strike away twice from going 6 shutout innings. And he then allowed the first base runner, allowed an 0-2 changeup for a home run that I tweeted out an image of the catcher's reaction of him just being so upset because it was the right pitch call. He just threw this changeup far too much in the zone at 0-2 and just flung out his bat and hit it over the wall. And then he allowed a 1-0 change of going over the wall to Alejandro Kirk after. So annoying. Giolito, I'm a big fan of this. I think that the four-seamer is in a very good spot. I'm going to guess that, I know it's tough because you have adrenaline in this one, so maybe he was gassed up for it and maybe he actually settles in a 92 and change, which would be a lot worse. But really seeing that first inning and then him changing, it's kind of like, oh yeah, no, I think he's allowing himself to go, which is fun. It might not be 93, probably like, I'm going to guess 92.7 next start, guys. I don't know. We'll see. But the changeup looks legit. It really does. It looks like the old changeup. It's really, really hard to hit and a few mistakes in it. Fine. But like, it's really good. I imagine we'll also see a better breaking ball of some kind and a better third pitch. Slider was just really bad yesterday. So I'm a fan. You should go get Giolito, for your 12 teamers. You have Luis L. Ortiz against the Twins, 6.1 innings and 0 runs. And this was cool. 5 base runners and 5 Ks. We're totally fine with this. But changeup was there. And the one that surprised us, 46% strike rate. Four-seamer was in the upper half, but not really the upper third. 2 for 25 whiffs. The slider was thrown for a 16% CSW. At least the cutter and sinker was good. 75% plus strike rates on both of them. High CSWs. But like the volatility game to game is the thing that just drives us nuts with Luis L. Ortiz. We don't know what we're going to get next time, and I just don't want to really do it. We saw so many debuts, including Lucas Giolito for the year, but also of MLB careers like Noah Cameron. 6.1 innings of 0 runs against the Rays. Is this the next big thing? Well, 5 walks, 6, 1 hit, and 3 Ks. Also, Cameron got me excited in the spring because instead of being 92, he was up to 94, 95 on the fastball, and then he fell down to 92. And it's a really, really hittable four-seamer. Oh my gosh. I don't know how it didn't allow him more hits. Horrible extension. Horrible vert. Horrible height-adjusted VAA. 92. Like, this does not work. And it's one of the worst Fantastic Four buckets I've seen. The Fan Four, those four elements. Oh my gosh. The changeup had only 46% strikes as well that I was really hoping was improving across the spring. The slider, that's really like a curveball at 83, is a big boy. It was good. The 87 mile per hour cutter was good. And, I mean, not the best precision, all of these. It was an MLB debut. What are you going to expect? The fact that it's at 92, means that when Cameron does return, I'm not as interested as I was before. He also won't be back probably for a little bit because Cole Reagans needs some extra time, and that's why Nolan Cameron is here. So I don't think he's getting regular starts. When he does, I'll be paying more attention. I don't think he's an ad right away. No way, Cameron. Miles Michaelis did well for his third straight start. It's 2 earned runs in 3 games. It's insane. He was at Cincinnati and did 5.1 innings of 0 earned runs. I don't want to go for it. Okay. Steven Matz. I was really surprised to hear that Ian Oseris was so high on Steven Matz yesterday during the Kraft podcast. He went 4 innings, 0 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. There was a doubleheader for the Cardinals and Reds. That's why we saw Chase Petty. We'll get to him later. This was 73 pitches for 4 innings, so he's not stretched out. And 14 for 15 strikes on his changeup to right-handers is really cool, like super well dotted. The sinker, I don't quite get how he gets away with it so much. Maybe it's a changeup underneath, but like, I really think it's not very good, especially against lefties, which wasn't supported by anything else. It was just down the middle and it worked. He also had curveballs at 60% CSW, just kind of in the zone. And I just don't quite get Matz. I think he's never had a one. I don't think he has never had a 120 whip or better in any season in his career, which is nuts. It's like Pivetta and Matz are like the two combined of these older guys that just are really bad at one stat. And I think this is way too much of a Toby and just a streaming option for me to go after this. I'm so sorry. I just don't want to go for Steven Matz. Also, speaking of the Kraft, I know we didn't have an episode last week because I was doing the Cade Povich interview that got pushed to this morning. And I had it at 9 a.m. and I ended it at like 10:40. It was long. We live streamed it. You can go check it out on YouTube right now and on the Kraft episode, the Kraft YouTube channel, and also the Pitcherless YouTube channel. It's awesome. I mean, really, such a fun conversation of Povich talking about all of these experiences he's had in development. Like, this is not your prototypical drafted out of high school, 95 mile per hour fastball kind of guy. This is someone who had to work and figure out how he can become a professional baseball player at 92. And really interesting, just talking shop with him, really being just transparent for my take of, hey, look, this is what generally works, what doesn't, why are you going with this? Talking about his kick change, his different curveball. It's, oh man, I give it a listen. Really, 2x speed if you need to, but you're not going to regret listening to that Cade Povich interview. Really in-depth, and I'm looking forward to maintaining that relationship moving forward with him because he's a really cool guy and smart about how he thinks about the game, too. So, excited for his development. We had a Brandon Waddle get opened for by Huascar Brazoban, and it was 4.1 innings of shutout ball. And keep in mind, he's a 30-year-old, and he's at 91 with a very, very chaotic heater. But he had enough outs with his slider. Was able to go back foot with the slider and sweeper to right-handed batters. Yeah. It was 60 pitches, and I don't really think this is that good. And we're going to move on. Corbin Burnes against the Mets. 6 innings of 1 and run. Yes, got the win. 4 hits and 5 walks. 3 hits. Man, 42% strike rate on the sinker, which he throws to right-handers. Actually, Povich talked about that with Burnes being able to go right-handers and sinkers inside. It'd be easy, and he's not doing that well. 52% strikes in the cutter, and that cutter had 14 inches of vert. Oh no. You want that to be like 9. This is the thing I've been talking about with Burnes for a while now, is that he just doesn't have the drop on the cutter like he used to. And yeah, no. Stop doing this. Please. So yeah, this is pain. This is absolute pain for Corbin Burnes managers right now. I hope that he's okay. 3 for 26 whiffs on his curve, slider, and change as well. It's just, oh gosh, this is not the Burnes you know. And to see Eno and I both drop him dramatically in our ranks was very reassuring. I'm not being crazy here about Burnes. Brady Singer against the Cardinals, 6 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He couldn't get the whiffs on the slider to right-handers, and that's really the difference. If he doesn't get that, I mean, he threw them too far away. That's why it wasn't all of the strikeouts. But, and he had more walks because of it, but yeah, it's old Brady Singer, guys. Nathan Eovaldi has all 4 pitches working, and it's so good. 6 innings, 1 run, 8 strikeouts here. Just keep rolling with him. The splinter and curve tallied 15 over 50 whiffs. That's a 30% swing strike rate between the two pitches, over 50 thrown, over half of his pitches. Oh, so fun. Michael King against the Giants. Ace is going to ace. 5.2 innings for a Philly. That is one out away from a quality start. 1 run, 5 hit, three hits, one walk, and six strikeouts. It's getting nearly 23 inches of horizontal run on the sinker. And so did his opponent, Landon Roop. And I have to wonder if there's something weird in San Diego for measuring horizontal movement in general, because I just don't really see that much horizontal movement to the point that it's breaking the movement plots that we have, where it's like going over it, because like the max is 24, and they had some of them that were more than that. Now, I don't like the fact that Michael King is going four-seamer heavy. 36% usage against right-handers is not right, because you have the sinker that should destroy them, and you have also a sweeper that should destroy them, and you don't need to do that. It's not really the greatest weapon that you have. So, his secondaries did have a 50% strike rate or lower, so that's why he didn't really go for those, but still, Michael King is great, and the fact that he actually didn't have those pitches getting strikes in one walk just kind of showcases how good he is. You have Chase Elander against Atlanta. Good game. It's great. This was in Coors. 5.2 innings and one run, two hits, three walks, and four Ks. And it was a day that he had a number two pitch that wasn't the cutter. It was a curveball actually getting him strikes. The thing is, the four-seamer is empty velocity still. And it's just hard. 97 plus. It's cool. The changeup and cutter were really bad. And I don't want to bank that the curveball is going to be doing enough while the four-seamer isn't going to get hit. So I don't want to trust Chase Elander at all, especially in Coors, and I think he got away with this one. Shane Smith against the Brewers, 5 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. He keeps surviving. 80 pitches here. We're still seeing the velocity dip and all of that. We just hope that it gets better. I mean, you're like, Nick, it's a good ERA. Why do we need it to get better? Because it's a 1.8 whip with 9 base runners and just 4 strikeouts, and he's only going 5 innings and getting wins because he's not going long enough in games. Also, he's on the White Sox. You just want that ability to stay better throughout the entire game, then also be more consistency. Right now, he's on a razor-thin edge, and you got to be careful. He's also getting good matchups, too, that are elevating his ERA. You have Luis Severino against the Rangers. 5 innings, a 1-run, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. He has a Toby. I like the fact that the cutter is being used by Severino. 18% CSW with about a 55% strike rate. Not what really we want, but keep leaning into that. I think like that actually opens the door for more consistency for Severino if he has that fourth pitch that isn't just sweeper, four-seamer, and sinker. I think it's a big deal for him. I do need to give a shout-out to a starting pitcher who I dropped massively in my rankings, as he just hasn't looked like an ace, but oh my gosh, he certainly did yesterday with the best start I've seen from him in the entire year by far, and one of the best ones that we've seen in ages, really even including last year. And we'll talk about who that is after this break. That phenomenal pitcher, Chris Sale, in Coors. It is such a terrible lineup, but 7 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 10 strikeouts, 24 whiffs, a 44% CSW over 100 pitches. That's a golden goal, easily. His slider was thrown over 50% of the time, 56 to be exact, and had a 52% CSW. It was unreal. He got the thing down. He actually located it. He just did all against right-handers, too. Guys don't throw lefties against Chris Sale. It was amazing. It was ridiculous. And the four-seamer was fine. It just kind of lived upstairs. Like, yeah, whatever. I'm just here to make the slider happy. Oh, my gosh. It was so cool. All right. Give me, like, one or two more starts of this, like, showcasing that you actually still have this, and I'll give you aces, gun ace again. Okay? Cool. Pablo Lopez against the Guardians, 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts. We're happy with this. As expected, the changeup showed up against the left-handed lineup, and he paired it with a lot of four-seamers. I think that he got away with a lot in play this time. Koufax was very kind, but we're happy with this, and we keep moving on. Tyler Anderson did exactly what he was supposed to do with his changeup against the Mariners in the tee at Seattle. 11 over 44 whiffs. Super, super cool there on that changeup. So he went 6 innings, 200 runs, 6 base runners, 5 Ks. Everything's cool. Matthew Boyd, honestly disappointing. It was 5 innings of 200 runs, but 9 base runners and 6 Ks against Pittsburgh in PNC Park. Finally, you had like a weak lineup. It's so annoying. The slider just wasn't consistent. The changeup was erratic. It, like, had good moments and stuff. It was just, get locked in. This was the start to showcase that you're locked in and you can totally have to take advantage of this. I mean, we're still going to keep going, but come on, you're so close, Boyd. Christopher Sanchez, I guess he's fine. 5 innings of 2 runs, got the win, 87 pitches. 5 hits, 3 walks, 6 Ks. The changeup wasn't good. This is the first start we haven't seen Sanchez have a dominating changeup. He threw it less, but he was at 95.7. That's still over a tick more from last year. And yeah, the changeup should be not a 50% strike rate. Okay, he'll fix it. JB Blueball was a debut for the Astros, right-hander, 4 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. If you join Paul Spore for the playback stream, he hosted the entire game. It was so cool. Thanks a lot, Paul Spore. That's why you need to be watching baseball on playback with us. It's the best. The four-seamer was a breadwinner, 8 over 35 whiffs. He tried to keep it upstairs at 94 miles per hour and at 17 inches of vert. He has decent extension, and there is a decent sweeper and changeups to lefties. But it's just like, it's fine. It's not really a guy I really want to chase. I didn't feel as if like anything was exceptional. Maybe the four-seamer does enough, it's just a spot start. Lance McCullers coming back later, and he's just there for that moment. So I wouldn't really go after this, and I think the blue ball is kind of eh. I'm sure he'll have one of those like, oh no, kind of starts. I mean, 16 whiffs, but 23% CSW, right? The bridge cutter is just not very good either, by the way. That curve, by the way, also that I mentioned, just a 36% strike rate and a 1 over 11 CSW. So like against the lefties, it's just a four-seamer trying to make it work. And then you have the sweeper to righties, right? So he needs to figure out more against lefties. AJ Blueball. You have Majinski for the Pirates. Not very good. There you go. That's it. I have this dumb nickname for him called the clown car because he's car men. What's a car full of men? It's a clown car, but I don't want to call him a clown. I don't know. Whatever. You have Tobias Myers against the White Sox, 2 innings and 2 runs. They gave him an early hook because they're just being cautious with him right now. So, okay. Let's just not start with Tobias Myers. This is against the White Sox. Really disappointing for him, I'm sure, for a lot of you. Yariel Rodriguez opened for Eric Lauer, who had 200 runs in 4 innings, and there's nothing special here. We don't do it. Tony Gonsolin. I've been getting the question, do we want Giolito or Tony Gonsolin? I'm going to tell you right now, you want Giolito. Okay? And what is it about Gonsolin? I already told you about Giolito. Well, I'm totally fine picking him up because he's going to get the Marlins a second time. And he got the Marlins here. 6 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts, 17 whiffs, 43% CSW. It was the Marlins. 92, 93 on the four-seamer should not be a 35% CSW pitch. The curve was just kind of lollipopped to lefties. And they just kind of took it. And it was 55% CSW. The slider and the splitter were also good and bad. So they had 11 over 37 whiffs, which is just, amazing. It's just, they're not really incredible pitches. And I think you will not like Gonsolin against good teams. Against the Marlins, you're probably going to get another win and probably get more strikeouts. And cool, that's great. But I think for a sustainable season, Giolito has more volume and production in him than Gonsolin does. He should add both, though. I mean, it's a great situation. Hopefully Gonsolin gets runway here to take advantage of this this opportunity. It may be something with Snell and Glasnow out that you have both Gonsolin and Kasparius in the spot. That makes sense. And then as things change with Otani or something like that, Gonsolin could be one of those that are out. We'll see. It's a never-ending revolving door there with Dodgeritis. Emerson Hancock went against the Angels. And he had a very, very, very poor quality start with 6 innings, 300 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. He's getting better, and he's like having a better attack, but yeah, we were not in on that yet. Drew Rasmussen for the second straight game did not have a good outing. 5 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Just 72 pitches as the Royals were very aggressive against him. And he had a 70%+ strike rate on all three of his main pitches, 89% of everything he threw. So cutter, four-seamer, and sinker. And the way I see it is, okay, you just got to be a little more perfect with how you throw these. You know, don't just throw strikes for the sake of strikes. Sometimes you'll get hits sometimes when Koufax isn't like you. I mean, that's it. That's Drew Rasmussen. Kate Bovich, just talked to him for a long, long time. He went 4.2 innings of 300 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks against the Yankees, allowed a home run to Judge on what was supposed to be a backdoor sweeper and just came over too far. This is going to be a process, I think. He's trying to figure out the changeup. He's trying to figure out the cutter. I mean, I'm trying to convince him to throw the cutter again. We'll see. And also his approach with the curveball. And I hope to see Povich also continue to get stronger. He feels confident that he can maybe get to 94 over time, like that's what he's trying to do, because he sees the marks of how his four-seamer performs at it. And it's like, whoa, that's way different. Like, I just got to get there. And that makes a lot of sense. I think it's a work in progress. And as far as a 12-teamer Toby goes, I don't think we're locked in yet. So be careful. Pick your spots. He will have some good nights when things are kind of cruising. And he has good feel for everything, but we're not there yet. Jackson Jobe against the Astros, 4 innings of 3 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 4 Ks. And honestly, watching this, like, it didn't feel like this bad of a start. I love the fact that Jobe is throwing 43% sliders, and that was 46% CSW. And you see that, and you go, wait a second, how is this a bad outing, right? Well, it was because the sinker and the four-seamer had a sub-20% CSW on both of them, which is just... Sinker had 9 over 21 strikes. The four-seamer didn't hit the 60% strike mark. And then when it was in the zone, they were ready for it. And really what this tells me is that Jobe is getting hitters who are sitting heater and just trying to attack just his fastball. So what do? You keep throwing more sliders. This is good, 43% overall. But then you got to throw something else. Whether it's the curveball or the changeup, I think you need to play more with this. Throw that sinker inside to take advantage of those who are aggressive, right? And what's really cool is watching this game, Jobe didn't feel like a thrower. And I say that, you know, some people don't like me saying pitcher versus thrower, that kind of thing. But I distinguish it as, are you generally executing what you want to do? Like, can you say, great, I want to go slider away. Okay, I want to go sinker inside. I want to go changeup away. And when you miss, is it generally around that direction? You know, is it with that intent? And if you miss, it's, you know, not a massive one. Or are you just sitting in the middle of the glove and hoping for the best? There are two different guys there. And Jobe is not a middle of the glove guy. So that makes me very encouraged. And what we've seen for the most part is that the floor is very high for Jobe, where he's not allowing massive destruction constantly, right? 3 earned runs is not the worst thing ever over 4 innings. Yes, 4 hits, 4 walks looks really disgusting. I get it. It is not like an 8-run clunker in a 1.2 inning start, right? He doesn't get completely bamboozled. So just keep that in mind with Jobe. It is a process, and I think it's one that he's gained better at. He's already increased the slider usage. So I would keep going here with Jobe. The stuff I think is very good, and I think over time this will, the pieces are coming together, and I would continue to go for it. I know how hard it is to hold on, but I think it's worthwhile. Landon Roop, same kind of thing. 4.1 innings of 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. Someone inside a playback did a showcase of a really important point, being like, hey, his BABIP's really high. And it's like 3.83 or something. It's like one of the worst in the majors. And I say, great. Instead of, you know, them talking about his FIP and his Sierra and XFIP and whatever, after that, that's not where the conversation goes, because that's obviously going to reflect favorably, as it says that should normalize. Right, but why is it that? Well, there are two reasons. One, he's not throwing a ton of strikes, and he's not throwing enough strikes, which means then guys are able to sit there and either get beat by the curveball or then make contact with the sinker if it's over the plate, which it sometimes is. The second part is that the defense actually isn't as good as I thought it would be. Matt Chapman obviously is a +3 outs above average at third base. Cool. But Willie Adames is a -6. Oh, no. And it's -3 for the first base, second base combined. So the defense is actually, and the infield is hurting him. He's a massive ground ball guy. So, that's actually, it was an alarming thing to me. Adames, please, you gotta be a better shortstop than this. And I think also that Roop should do better in the future with his changeup and cutter. This will be a little bit of a process of figuring out, how do I use my sinker better? How do I make sure that I can get more strikes on this? But I really do think that against lefties in particular, where he throws all these sinkers down the middle a lot, yeah, the cutter and the changeup should show up more. I think you'll get more strikes out of those. And when you do, you're going to see those ridiculous strikeout numbers again. Is it going to be a 32% put away rate on the curveball to righties? Probably not. But you should see at the very least a strikeout an inning, if not flirting with a 27% to 30% strikeout rate. And I think that the sinker over time will be efficient. It might not be great tomorrow, but I think that Roop's ceiling is phenomenal. And I would be holding on to this one. It's not as refined as the only thing. It might think of like Cherry Bomb Phenomenal of a good amount of strikeouts and more volume than you expect, but slightly higher whip. Okay. I think like 115 is what we're going for Roop. You have Cal Quantrill against the Dodgers, didn't go well, shocking more at 11. Carlos Carrasco didn't do well against the Orioles, shocking more at 11. Jake Irvin, oh man, I was so disappointed at this. 6 innings, 6 earned runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks, but his curveball is really good. But, oh, yeah, he's at 90 on the four-seamer. Last year was like 94 to 95. What we saw this year so far was like 92 and change, and this was 90. You can't have that. Like, why didn't you tell me it was going to be 90, buddy? Ugh. Oh, man. Also, by the way, he did what I'm calling the SBS instead of the BSB. So instead of the Big Stump Blueprint, it's a sinker, breaker, switcheroo, which is curveballs up and then sinkers down, which is kind of funny is what he did to right-handers, which is weird. But yeah, this is disappointing. It's a Vargas will be drop. That's it. Done. It was good. It was good for three starts. He had four starts of the curve really working. Velocity's taking a nosedive and we're done. And last but not least is Chase Petty. Well, I mean, at least as far as performance goes, but 2.1 innings of 9 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. And what's so important is you say, yes, we don't start guys' MLB debuts. We know this. Forget about the actual line of this. What does he do? He throws 95, 96 mile per hour sinkers. So he threw 97 miles per hour. I think even maybe harder than that in the first. He has a good amount of run. He has a really low arm angle. And Savalt's calling it a four-seamer. I don't know why. I feel like it's a sinker, and then he should be able to have a four-seamer. But okay, because he doesn't get vert on this. He gets run. He also throws a 90 mile per hour cutter that sometimes is at 93. Sometimes it's a little bit lower than that with, like 90 with a little bit more, tail to it, but it moves a lot. It moves more than a cutter does. And especially more than a slider. It's like 4 to 5 mile per hour difference. Some of these were just so filthy. And this is an MLB debut. What we've seen actually in the minors is really good control with Chase Petty. So I am not going to write off Chase Petty in the slightest. This was a doubleheader spot start where he's going back to the minors. I think we lean in on Chase Petty moving forward as he's going to be a 12-teamer hold once he does go regularly every 5 days. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your bounce be low and your strikeouts high.